Passages today, but we're going to start in the book of the Gospel of Luke there, Gospel of Luke. Want to help us today? The Gospel of Luke, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you're on your tablet or your phone there, you've already beat us to it. We're going to look at several passages. I want to encourage you to do a couple of things today. As you came in, you received a program on the back. You've got plenty of lines there. I want you to write down these references. I want you to tuck them away. If I said last week, if I had a word to give those in America, it would be pray. And then I tried to expound upon that and fill that out a little bit. And again, I probably left half of my notes out. I just didn't have the time. And I'll revisit that soon enough. But if I had another word, it'd be an unbelievably controversial word. And that's the word today, and I think you'll pick up on it. But I want you to get in on the controversy, see why it's controversial, and I want you to embrace what the Bible says here. Luke chapter 5, verse 32, your Bibles are open there. Again, we've got several passages. Stand with us, and then you can kind of read off the screen as well. Luke chapter 5, pardon me. Verse 32, the Bible says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to, what's that next word there? Repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Look right here for a second. If all we ever do is hang out with saved people, people who are Christ followers, not you're ready for listening to me. If all we ever do is just us and everything that's really well, we're not doing a whole lot of other people any good, are we? God came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to call sinners, which I'm really glad because that includes me, to repentance. You're Luke chapter 5. If you can flip fast, you can keep up. Luke chapter 15, verse number 7. Luke 15, 7. The Bible says, I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Over one sinner that repents. More than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. We get real excited occasionally about the wrong things. We need to get real excited about when somebody repents of their sins. Can I get an amen or a hallelujah? Amen. That's where we are. We had 8 or 9 people that trusted Christ in about a month's span here. We should have been walking on the ceiling. Amen. Because if it makes heaven happy, it sure ought to make us happy, right? And some of you were there. We had several in Bible school. And some of you got to stand around and pray. Man, what a joyous time. And God says, and he uses the expression there, they repent. They repent. Luke chapter 15, Luke 24, verse 47. Luke 24, verse 47. That repentance and remission, putting away of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What are the spears? What are the Simmons supposed to be doing? What's Shannon Little as she heads back across the water? What are they supposed to be doing? What's their message? Repentance. Repentance. Deal with your sin. Deal with your sins. And how are they to do it? They're to use Jesus' name. It's under his authority. Look right here for a moment. If I think you're doing right or wrong, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. If you think what you're doing is right, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference either. If God says it's right, it makes a whole lot of difference. But if God calls it wrong, you better pay attention. We live in a world, we live in a society, everybody in here under 25, listen to me real fast, where as long as you feel like it or think it or your opinion, and if anybody says anything to you, they're a bully, they're this, they're that, and that's just not true. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's right, it's right. He is the authority and he is a standard. And if I had something to say to America, we better get back to the fact what God says matters. Repentance, remission of sin should be preached. Luke 24, Acts 20, verse 21, testifying both to Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate faith and repentance. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Look on the screen, unless you can flip there. For they themselves show of us what mannering of entering in we had to you, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, the word repentance is not there. It's not there, but it's described. They were going this way, and they went this way. They were serving this that was awful, and they began to serve God. There was a break point. There was a line of demarcation. There was a Rubicon, whatever you want to call it, where they decided this is going to be different, and they responded to the preached word of God. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever repented? And what should repentance mean to you? I want to help us today. Bow your heads with me for a second. Father, help us this morning. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help me as I preach your word. I pray I do so with power and authority. I pray that you'd help me speak clearly, enunciate well. I pray I'd stay within the parameters of time that are acceptable and that'll help us to be able to listen. But Lord, I want you to meet with us. I believe you need to meet with us. I believe we need to meet with you, rather. So would you help us today? Would you be with Neil Ratliff, Lord, and the situation there? Would you be with Leroy Cox and the surgery that's upcoming? Our dear sister Doris. And would you be with us right now in these moments? Or there are folks under the sound of my voice who've never repented of their sins. They never experienced genuine sorrow, heartfelt contrition, and they've never said, Lord, I'm tired of this life, and I want to live for you. And I pray that today they'd understand and realize what that means. And more than that, I pray you'd help us to see this as a lifestyle, that we are to keep short accounts with you. I pray you'd help us this morning. Pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. If I had a word, I think my word for you would be repent. My word for you would be repent. Some days ago, there was a news story that I thought was fascinating. And I've got a few pictures for you and all here. You'll shoot those up there. And it really kind of illustrates things. Can you see that okay? See that okay? If you're not gagging or going, ooh, you can't see it very well. That is on the, let me get over here where I can kind of look at it a little bit. This happened in Oregon, I think about 2 weeks ago. And that was a nice car. And that is a state patrolman. And what you can or can't see there is a bunch of live, wriggling hagfish, better known as slime eels. Nod your head if you think slime eels doesn't sound like a fun day on the 101 in Oregon. How many of you think that sounded like Monday, last Monday and all? And there he's standing. They actually had to get a fire truck out in order to blast a path there for that guy. There was a truck carrying 7,500 pounds of live slime eels on their way to another country where they're considered a delicacy. And if they're a delicacy in your mind, you're going to be really offended about what I'm about to say. And they were on their way. The guy ran through construction. There was an accident. And all of a sudden, 7,500 pounds of hagfish are everywhere. Again, you got to think this is the worst commute ever in your life. Nod your head if you're with me here. You say, well, what's all that stuff all over the car? Hit the next picture there. What's all the stuff there? What's all the stuff in the ditch there? Hit the third picture. What's all the stuff everywhere, man? And you can really see the car, right? If you could look at the screen, if you get a little closer, there's only about 30 or so of those slime eels there. There's only about 30 or so of those hagfish there. What happens to a hagfish is when it's uncomfortable, and that's the article. I read it two or three places. If a hagfish feels threatened, if it's uncomfortable, I'm uncomfortable saying the word hagfish. I'm uncomfortable saying the word slime eel. But a little slime eel, when it feels threatened, can make up to, wait for it, 5 gallons of slime almost instantly. Some of you are going, my children's room looking a lot better. 5 gallons. You have 7,500 pounds of live slime eels that all of a sudden get very threatened. because they're in an automobile accident. Can you imagine the guy? He gets out of his car and he goes, oh man, I got rear-ended. Oh, the insurance company. Then he looks and in front of his eye, all these slimeos are exploding. And all of a sudden, he's in a bad Ghostbusters movie, amen? There's slime everywhere. We'll say it's no big deal. Here's my point. It's so thick. It's so sticky. They had to call the fire department out with their high-pressure hoses. All of you that are on your phones, look at me. Had to to blast it off the highway because the cars couldn't drive on it because they're going... It's so thick. They're trying to figure out how to make natural lycra. Spandex for everybody else. They're trying to use... Now, how many of you think I'm wearing the latest hagfish lycra pants? Or pantyhose or whatever, you know. And it's so thick that they're figuring out a way. Look right here. It's so bad. First responders, the people in the accident, the guy driving the truck, they looked at him and said, don't bother washing your clothes. It'll never come out. That state trooper there, that's the last time he wore that uniform. It's all over. They can't get it out. It's bonded. It's sticky, sappy, goopy, slimy forever. Just throw them away. Whoever had to take that car in to the junkyard, I hope he was wearing old clothes, amen, because it's all over. If there was something valuable in the back, it's all done, amen, because it's covered in 5 gallons apiece of slimy eel goo. It's just absolutely positively everywhere. They had a little fun with it. There's some other pictures, some video and stuff like that. But I've laughed and laughed, and I thought about it and thought about it, and I said, you know, that's a perfect picture of us. We're just covered in sin. It's all over us. It stinks on us. It's killing us. It's everywhere. We can't figure out what's going on. And we're just head to toe in it. And we're just taking that little hand sanitizer and trying to do a little better by it. We're taking some Febreze and going psh, 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 trying to feel a little better about it. We're just eat up with it. It's all over us and it's killing us. But the reality is, we need to repent. We need to get rid of it. We need to take it off like dirty, if you'll let me, hagfish, slimed clothes, and finally get clean. Most folks treat sin like I got dusty walking from the car to the house instead of I was on the 101 in Oregon and 7,500 pounds of hagfish came in the back window glass. I think I need to make a real change here. I think I need to get out of these clothes here. I think I need a little help here. Glad you're with me. Look at the idea of repentance this morning. If I had a word to say to America, I'd say what John the Baptist said to his people. I'd say what Jesus said. I'd say what Paul said. I'd say what John said. I'd say what Peter said. I would say to them, repent, repent. Let me give you a couple of things here this morning. You can write down, and I want to help us this morning. I want to help us here. Number one, repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that produces a change of life. Repentance is a change of mind that produces a changed life. I gave you a whole bunch more words there. Say that back with me. Repentance is a change of mind. One more time. Repentance is a change of mind that produces a changed life. That produces a changed life. It is a change of mind about God, about sin, about yourself that produces a changed life that honors God. Let me give you a real quick litmus test to know if you're a Christ follower this morning. If you've never, ever had a changed life, then I suspect that you've never become a follower of His. There ought to be a change in life that you notice and that other people notice. There ought to be a change. If there's been no change, I suggest to you there's been no salvation. I'm not being mean to you, not being ugly to you, but not being any of those kind of things. But everywhere repentance is mentioned, repentance is connected to what I've changed my mind, how I'm thinking, and it's produced a changed life. James said it like this: that kind of faith is dead. Faith without works. It's a faith that works. Say, I trusted Christ, but I'm still this, I'm still this, and I'm still this, and I'm still this. I suggest to you this morning, you need to make real sure that you actually trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me help you. After you're saved, however you do what? You still struggle. The Bible calls that our flesh, that unredeemed part of us. We still have good days and bad days. But now whenever we sin, we are stricken about it. We are upset about it. And God says, that's awful, and that's terrible. And we want to do what? Lord, forgive me, because we want the relationship to be right. So this is repentance. This is repentance. Let me give you a few things repentance is not. Everybody with me? Everybody with me, say amen. Say amen. I mean, I got several of you look like you're freezing to death. Freezing to death. Get with the people who are cold. People that are warm, y'all just change seats here and all. I'm always how I am, so I don't know, but I see a few of you here. What it is not. What it is not. Number one, it's not just sorrow. It's not just sorrow. I've loved, as Allison's graduated, we looked through a lot of her pictures and going all the way back. Riley was just a few months old. Allison was feeling like other children feel. She wanted a little attention. Nod your head. All the oldest in here, nod your head. You remember when your siblings came along and took all the love and affection? It's just awful, isn't it? And we had a candle. We always have a candle, seemed like. We had a candle beside of a tissue box. If you go to her house now, you won't find any candles next to tissues anymore. We were in there doing something where Riley and Allison was toddling around, and next thing we hear was, ah! And Allison had decided to see if a tissue would burn. How many of you think a tissue burns mighty fast? She still had hold of it. She put the tissue in the fire. It leapt up, turned her hand red. She's screaming, and we're wondering what's going on. Oh, I was playing with the fire. And we're glad that the house is not on fire. She didn't go right and throw it on the carpet. And we're there, and she's there, and we're trying to run cold water. And then we start having a discussion. You need to put toothpaste on it. No, put toothpaste on it. Toothpaste is stupid. And so we're discussing which old wives' remedy works. And Andre's like, no, we put this on it, put that on it. Allison's over there, hands going boom, 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 you know. So we finally got her some attention and all. She was fine. She learned her lesson. And now, you know, now she's not afraid of candles anymore. But she was really sad. She was really absolutely positively sad. Positively sad. When our kids were smaller, we'd sit around the dinner table. Any parent here ever do this? And I'd look at them. If they looked guilty, I'd look at them and I'd go, Brother Ting, I'd look at them and I'd go, what did you do? They'd start buckling. I'd say, you might as well tell me now. Now, I had no idea what they'd done. Everybody with me? But they look guilty, right? There's several of you looking guilty right now, wondering, you know, they look guilty. I said, what'd you do? They confess right there in the rice-a-roni. They confess, and we deal with it. No. I look at the other one. Anything you need to tell me? They're sitting in her head going, does he know? Does he not know? Is he just? And so they'd go ahead and confess, and so we'd have confession for dessert. And repentance here, not just sorrow, not just sorrow. There's a problem with teenagers because you get used to hiding in line, and you don't look as guilty as you used to. That's a hard heart problem. It's a bad thing. It's not just sorrow. It's not just sorrow. Every time I've ever gotten a speeding ticket, I've been really sorry. Anybody besides me ever do that? Man, I'm sorry. I'm not really repentant, but I'm sorrowful. Some people, man, they do some things. You'll see people being convicted of a crime, and they look at them and ask for sorrow. Sorrow is not just repentance. Let me help you. See, I didn't cry a whole bunch of tears. I didn't sling snot everywhere. I didn't do this and do that. I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not talking about an emotional outburst. I'm talking about heart sorrow. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's not just sorrow. It's not just sorrow. If you're writing down notes, it's not just good works. Up street around the corner here, there's a big place, and it teaches that if you're sorry for your sins, you'll go out and do good things. That's not repentance. That's not anywhere close to repentance. That's what we call works-based salvation. If I could work my way to heaven, look at me. If I could work my way to heaven, Jesus didn't need to come, and he sure didn't need to die, and he didn't need to do what he did for me. If I could work my way to heaven, then God is very cruel because of how he treated Jesus Christ. It's not just good works. Well, I need to do this, and I need to do that. People come to church. I need to come to church because that's what good people do. No, I come to church because I love Christ. I come to church because he's commanded me to love Christ. I come to church because it's his day and it's his house. I come here because I want to be with other believers and all. I do those things. It's not good works. I'm not trying to earn favor with God. I'm not trying to repay him for the sins that I have committed. It is not good works. Let me help you. Many people think it's exactly what it is. I do bad, I need to do good. I'm an awful guy. I support this work over here. I support this charity. I volunteer at the hospital. There's a lot of old people sitting around answering the phone call at a hospital or some kind of place, emergency place, because they've lived like rascals and they're desperate to try and get into heaven. It's not good works. Not good works is not punishment. Repentance is not punishment. See what you mean? You take $20, it's hard to say, Crystal, you probably don't see a lot of cash. It's all checks and cards. If for some reason you had $20 in the register at Dollar Tree, Crystal looks up at the camera, smiles, takes $20 out, puts it in her pocket, more than likely be looking for another job by Friday. Crystal gets fired. You didn't fire, did you? I should have checked the story out. Krista goes, this is awful. I sinned and I got punished. That's the end of it. Look at me. I didn't repentance. Consequence for your sin is not repentance. You cheat around and get caught, that is not repentance. You steal and get caught, that is not repentance. You break the speed limit and get caught, that is not repentance. People got in their head, well, I got caught, I got punished, I went to jail, I had all these kind of things. That is not repentance. Hopefully God will use the consequence to bring you to repentance. That's not repentance. It's not punishment. Let me throw this in. Every parent and grandparent here, punishing a child, punishing a teenager is just that. I'm not just trying to teach them that sin brings pain. Write that down if you're still taking notes. Sin brings pain. Sin always brings pain. They sash you, sin's going to bring pain. They steal, sin's going to bring pain. They don't do their best schoolwork, sin brings pain. Sin brings pain. Sin brings pain. Part of a parent's job, grandparent's job, step-parent's job, sin brings pain. Pain is not enough. I want in their heart a spirit of repentance. I've hurt you. I've hurt God. I've hurt others. I'm sorry for what I've done. I don't want to do that anymore. That's the goal. The goal is not just punishment. 2017, there's no more punishment. Kid does wrong, we go after the teacher. Kid does wrong, we go after the police officer. Kid does this, does that, whatever we say. Well, they need this or they need that. We explain away bad behavior. Let the punishment come. But pray for a spirit of repentance. Pray for a spirit of repentance. Can I get an amen from anybody here? Not punishment, it's not karma. The karma, preacher, we're in the South. You'd be surprised how many people think, do good, good will come. Do bad, bad will come. There's a flip of that. Do good and bad will stay away. You do bad and good will never come. To not be people from the Orient, we sure have a lot of what? Karma teaching, don't we? Jesus said, blessed are you when all men hate you and persecute you and revile you. We don't think that's a blessing, do we? We think God loves me, everybody else loves me, right? When God's happy with me, everybody else ought to be happy with me. It's not the case. It's not karma. It's not karma. It's not karma. Well, look at them over there. Well, they must be awful people. Some of the best people I've ever known in my life have been through some of the worst circumstances of life. By the way, and many of them with a testimony for Christ that put most of us to shame. It is not do good, get good, do bad, and get bad. It is not karma, and I know karma is a lot more than that. I'm simplifying. It's not just reformation. Not just reformation. oh, I need to get my life straight with the Lord. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do the other. And we try it on for a couple weeks and we're gone. Many of you asked me, we've had, to July 1st, we've had 165 different people come through this building. That's trackable. We've had over 50 first-time guests. 21 of them have returned. Many of them are faithful here. Any given Sunday, between 50 and 70 in here. That means we have a sliding population of over 80 people. Nod your head if you understand that. That's a pretty big slide, isn't it? Sometimes people say, Preacher, where are they at? I go, I don't know. If I knew where they were, I'd go drag them in here, amen? You know, I'd go push them in here. I don't know where they are. I want them to be here. I want them to be where they are. But a lot of them, it was just, I'm at the end of my rope. Joe, I've done this. I'm going to come in for 45 minutes on a Sunday, and if God can fix it, fine. If not, I'm going to go try something else. It's like Google. I like this result, I don't like this result, I like this result, I like this result. That's reformation. That's just, I'm going to give it a moment or two, go from there. That's not what repentance is. That's not remotely what repentance is. Look right one more time. So what does this have to do? What does this have to do? And I'm done. I've only got just this bit. What does it have to do with saving faith? Let me help you. There is no such thing as saving faith without turning from your sins. Again, James says, there is what? There is, excuse me, this kind of faith is dead. This kind of faith cannot save. You always have to deal with your sinfulness. Say, help me with it, preacher. When God's speaking in your heart, when the Word of God, the Spirit of God's dealing with you, and you have this opportunity to come to Him, He's talking to you about your ugly mouth, and He's talking to you about what's in your mind, and He's talking to you about your past, and He's talking about all these things. Because God wants to save you, listen to me, from that into a new life. One of the greatest things in the world to tell somebody is you don't have to be the person you were. God can save you and change you. Let me help you. And if God has saved you, then He is changing you. He is changing you. There's no such animal, no such animal as to be biblically saved, born again, and remain in your sins. There's just no such animal. See, what's the difference in our church and some other churches? Well, one is that idea right there. See, is that what the Bible says? You read it earlier. Faith. Go back in your scriptures there. Verse Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Testifying the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It is both. It is the same. It is both together. It is not apart. You can't have one without the other. You can't have intellectual head knowledge without dealing with your sinfulness. Let me make it real practical for you. I'm killing you on the camera. I'm sorry. Make it real practical. It's not just that you have to deal with your sins. God wants to deal with your sins. A man I've read behind for a long time is in an inferno right now of controversy. In our political climate, he has dared try and evangelize Muslims. He's had dinner with them. They've been in his house. He's called them a friend. He's not denied the Trinity. He's not denied Jesus Christ as only Lord and Savior. He's not denied the he's not done any of those things. He has just dared to befriend those who are Muslim and try and lead them to Jesus. Look right here. And he is just being annihilated right now. Where do we ever get to? Where do we ever get to where our politics determine who Jesus loved and who Jesus doesn't love? I'm I'm as mad as anybody about the Pride Parade a few weeks ago downtown. Hurt my feelings. But I'm not mad at any of them. Jesus loved them. Loved them. And died for their sins. See, here's our problem. All of you that tune me out, give me the last 4 minutes and I'll let you go. Is our sins, God loves. He wants to take care of. But everybody else's problems, God hates, and they're awful, and they're terrible. And we turn up our nose at them and all, saying, you're being accepting. I'm being nothing of the sort. I'm saying they need to repent of their sins. I'm simply trying to say to you that saving faith involves meeting people where they are, and God wants to deal with their sins, and God is the only one who can deal with their sins. We don't do them anybody a favor by not calling them sinners. God loves second chances and third chances. God loves people who have blown it and made a mess of their lives. And He died for them. Some of us get saved so long, and we start looking down our nose at everybody else, and we say, well, you know, they're this bad people. But what's worse is we start excusing their sin. You let somebody do the wrong thing in a family, and it was awful and wicked, and now because it's a grandchild, or because it's a cousin, or because it's a this or that, now we start making allowances and all for it. No, it's still sin, and they still need to repent of their sin, and they still need to get right with God. That is the only way of saving faith. How are we supposed to do this? Very practically. We need to do it regularly. Not be saved regularly. Look at me. You can do it however you like. My preference is when it happens. When I sin, when I hurt God's heart, I want to stop right then and ask Him to be with me. I want to stop right then. I think you need to do it regularly. I think if you go week to week, maybe, I think you ought to do it that time. I know people, I think they go months at a time or in between evangelists or whatever. I don't think that's a good idea. If nothing else, you get used to your sin. They talk about the calluses of a working man or working woman. It's where your skin got used to the irritation. There shouldn't be any calluses on our heart about sin. We should never get used to it. We should do it regularly. We should repent over our sin. And we should repent and weep over other sin. I can't repent for them, but I can weep over their sin. We're in a different age and different generation. I've got that. But I miss, even though I'm not that old, I miss people who would come to an altar, come to a front bench, and would pour out their heart for a husband or a wife or a daughter or a granddaughter or a grandson, for a co-worker. They would pour out their heart because they were up to their eyeballs in sin, and they were covered in hagfish and didn't know it. And they're trying to wash it off with a moist towelette, and it will not get them clean. Should weep over other sin. Say, why should I do any of that? Because the standard is God. The standard is that book there. Say, well, I disagree with it. It doesn't really make any difference. You got to take it up with the Bible. You got to take it up with God. Say, well, I don't like what you said. And I don't like this. And I had a young person a few months ago say they were really upset about this. It's fine. You can be upset with me, but your standard is not what I think about you. Your standard is what the Bible says about what you're doing. It's Him. I want to please Him. If I go home this afternoon and my wife's made eggplant parmesan, I'm relatively certain she's mad with me. For all of you eggplant lovers, that's fine, I'll eat it. But I'm not asking for it. If I go home and she's made a great big pile of liver and onions, I'm relatively certain I've done something bad. I'll eat it. I'll enjoy it. I'm not going to order it. Some of you are going, you don't know what's good. You got the point. It isn't what I like. It isn't what she likes. It isn't what you like. It isn't what you like. It's what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And when you do what God says is wrong, He says you are to change your mind about it, about you, about me. And I want you to turn, and I'm going to help you do this. And I'm going to empower you to do this. And I want to help you live and do what's pleasing to me. It's not your individual choice or taste. It is what the Bible says. And if I had something to say to America, I would say to them, I'd say repent. 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 You're hurting God's heart and you're killing yourself. What you don't know is that there's 7,500 pounds of hagfish and you're never going to get clean without somebody else's help. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed.